And not that you can't do that from up on the stage. But the counselor part of me says, never put a wall between you and someone else. So I don't want the stage to be a wall. When I went to Siberia, I went out of obedience. Because, as you all know, I have no desire to go on short-term missions, long-term missions. My mission work is right here at 105 West Main. But I went out of obedience. And when God called me to go, I began to pray, okay, God, you must want something spectacular if you were taking me out of my place at 105 West Main. You are going to show me some wow thing in Siberia. I'm going to get some great revelation of God. I could hardly wait, because that I knew was what God was going to do. Well, instead, I get there, and what I got, or am still getting, maybe, is a quiet filleting of my heart and soul. It began in a small village in Siberia of Tashtagal, where God showed me a church. My husband's over there talking to me. I know. It started in a small village of Tashtagal, where God showed me a church that had very similar visions and doing a lot of the same things that we do right here in at Faith Harvest. They had the same foundation that we have right here. And he showed me that God is the same and wants to do and is doing the same thing all the way around the world, some 14 time zones away, as he wants to do right here in Mesa, Arizona. And the laying open of my heart for examination began in that four-hour bus ride back to our hotel that afternoon. I shut my eyes, and I'm sure Michelle thought I was sleeping. But it was at that moment that God said, we've got business to begin to do. And I entered into that secret place with God. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father God, you are great and mighty. You are God supreme. Lord, I come as your humble servant, only to be a mouthpiece this evening. Lord, I think of myself no greater than my brothers and sisters gathered here tonight. Again, I come out of obedience. Because you said, share this word with your brothers and sisters. And so tonight it is my desire that, Lord, there's nothing of me here. Because, Lord, I can't preach this word. But, Lord, I come as your servant. Fill me to overflowing. That I would share this word with your people. That hearts would be changed. That we would begin to look inward to ourselves and our walk. And as time is running short to your coming back, it's time we get it right. Lord, let no one leave the same. Let your word flow forth. In Jesus' name, amen. I just want us to go to a couple of scriptures this evening. We're going to go into the New Testament, and let's go to the book of Matthew. As we were leaving the house this evening, I told my children to make sure they had their Bibles and make sure they had a pen or a highlighter, because if you couldn't write in your Bible tonight, it wasn't worth anything. If we could turn to Matthew 4. Starting with verse 19. Then he said to them, "Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." They immediately left their nets and followed him. Underline or highlight in your Bible, in verse 19, "Follow me." And in verse 20, underline "immediately." And then if we could just flip over a few books to the book of John. Chapter 12. Verse 26. Chapter 12, verse 26. "If anyone serves me, let him follow me. And where I am, there my servant will be also. If anyone serves me, him my Father will honor." Underline or highlight, "If anyone serves me, let him follow me." If you would, for a moment, think back. Think back to that day that you decided that you were going to follow Jesus. That day occurred, and probably much like myself, we would read the Word, we would chew on the Word, follow the Word. I want to do everything exactly as God says in this book. We were eager to follow. We were happy to follow when we first said, "I follow you." Time passes. Sometimes we become complacent. And now, as the Lord has made me search my heart over the last 4 to 6 weeks, He has made me go through every single aspect of my life. He's made me do an inventory. And with each thing, He says, ask yourself, who's following who? He's coming back, and He's coming back quickly. And He has really pressed upon my heart that the time has come for us to stop playing. And it's time for us all to examine our hearts and determine who it is we're going to follow. There's a movie, and this will probably tell something about Michael and I. We love Julia Roberts movies. And there's a movie, I believe it's My Best Friend's Wedding, in which Julia Roberts is chasing her best friend, who is a gentleman, who is chasing someone else, his bride-to-be. And she's on the phone to another friend and says, "I'm chasing," and I can't remember his name, "but I'm chasing my best friend." And the guy on the phone says, "Well, who is he chasing?" "He's chasing his wife-to-be, his bride." And her friend on the phone says, "Well, turn around. Who's chasing you? Who's following who?" You know, Sunday night is the core of the church, I feel. It's the church family who desires to follow Jesus. And God told me, share this word with your brothers and sisters. Because it's this group who desires to follow Him. You know, sometimes I think we come up with our own ideas and our own visions. And it really isn't God. But we say, "Hey God, get on board with us. This is a great idea." When the church was very young, a young pastor came to us. He had, I don't know, 2 or 3 school buses. And he said, "I have a bus ministry. I bring in hundreds of children. And I want to give you, Pastors Mark and Maggie, that bus ministry. We were excited. Oh, children, gosh, there will be thousands of them. We'll grow the church through children. That's what we're going to do. And we were pretty excited. There were even some parents that would come along in those buses. We're going to grow the church. We were excited. It was great. Come on, God, get on board with us. Get on the bus. It only took us a few months to realize, whoa, maybe this was our vision, and it wasn't God's, and we truly were saying, God, get on the bus with us and make this work for us. Come on, God, join us. Am I saying we didn't go to prayer? No, we went to prayer. Did we think we heard God? Maybe. Did we just really want to hear God? Probably so, because we were little and we wanted to grow the church. God wasn't following us in that. And as you notice, we don't have a fleet of buses out there, and we don't have a bus ministry, and I don't have thousands on the lower level. It didn't produce any fruit. God wants us to follow Him, not the other way around. In Matthew 7:20, it tells us that therefore, by their fruit, you will know them. If we're not producing fruit, it's not of God. The bus ministry, although for that other pastor, produced fruit. But it wasn't what Faith Harvest needed at that moment in time. While I was in Siberia, I had the most wonderful pleasure of meeting one of the deacons of Church on the Rock. He was a wonderful young man named Jenna. He was probably in his mid to late 30s. Oh my gosh, he just loved the Lord. He just had a glow about him. He loved the Lord. He loved to just talk about the Lord. When I told him what I did for a living, he's like, well, where's God in that? You know, right? Everything was, where's God, where's God, where's God? And, you know, in Siberia, drug rehab is run by the church, not by the state. So he was like, oh, no, 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 you got to have God in that. Doesn't work without God. And I believe that. I believe that. But it is the state that pays my check. But he was just such a wonderful man, in love with the Lord. And I said, well, what is it that you do? He said, I'm a deacon. And I said, well, do you do anything else? He said, I'm a deacon. What else would I do? And he said, I have to be at the church every day. There's work to be done. There are people who need rides. There are things that need to be repaired. There are light bulbs to be changed. There are things that need to be done. God called me to be a deacon, and that's what I'm going to do with all of my heart and soul. And in the short time that I was in Siberia, I know he took people 4 or 5 miles or 4 or 5 hours away in his car. And it wasn't a great car. But he took them wherever they needed to go. And he never asked for anything. He said, I don't ask for gas money. God will provide. If it's God, he will provide whatever I need. That was his job. He said, my only desire is that I follow Jesus. If he tells me that I'm not to be a deacon, then I'll stop being a deacon. But this is my job. This is what I'm to do. He was walking in what God called him to do. And he was so in love with the Lord. He was so happy to follow the Lord. One of the first verses I had you read was John 12:26. If anyone serves me, let him follow me, and where I am, there my servant will be also. Jenna's serving the Lord. Jenna's following the Lord. He's not going ahead. Sometimes I think that we're not happy doing just what God calls us to do. We get our eyes focused on, oh, look at what that person's doing. I want to do what they're doing. But you know what? God didn't call you to do what he's called someone else to do. But we get so focused and we allow this monster inside of us, the green-eyed monster of jealousy, to take over because we're so busy. I want to do what they're doing. But yet, we're not willing to do what God called you to do right here and now. You know, we don't do it sometimes with a love or a passion. As I spoke with Jenna, he loved changing light bulbs in the church, doing whatever. They had a huge property, and it was grown up with, you know, parts of it got grown up with weeds, and he said, I got to clean all that. But he spoke of it with a love and a passion. We don't always have that. When we see Shannon coming with the nursery schedule, sometimes we run the other direction. Or we have Michelle coming with a cleaning schedule. Oh, a clean church doesn't fit into my Saturday schedule. Doesn't work for me. There was once someone here in the church, no longer goes here, but they were in a position where they would lead. And every once in a while, we would have those Wednesday night cleanings. Does anyone remember those? On Wednesday night, we're going to clean the church. And when that person would come to church and find out that, oh, we're cleaning the church, I'm going home because that's not what God's called me to do. Are we following Jesus, or are we asking him to follow us in our work? We can look at this in our personal lives, too. I know this couple who desired children, and they were unable to have children. They knew that God had called them to have a family. God spoke to the woman and said, prepare your lap. They started to look with their eyes. Oh, we're going to have a family. We're going to have a family. A friend of theirs said, oh, I know someone who's pregnant and the lady does not want her baby. That couple ran. They ran after that situation. They knew this must be how God was going to make them a family. Because God said, prepare your lap. Oh, and here's a baby, so this must be the way. This must be the way. But God was silent. God was silent. But they thought they were following God. They were trying to make something that God said happen before he was ready for it. There was a lot of heartbreak for that couple when they had to give that child back. It wasn't God. They weren't following God. Hearing God requires us to listen. And when we don't hear him, it doesn't mean he's saying, oh, it's okay. And I think we do that often in our walk. Well, God didn't say no. So we must be saying yes. Tom, you and Jenny want to go out one night. And so you leave the girls at home. And you say, now, you stay in the house and you don't fight. That's what you tell. But when you come home, you find out that they have been in contact with every boy they could possibly know. Is that okay? Jenny's like, no. That's right. Your neck moves in. No. No, I didn't think so. God's silence isn't permission. It's not permission. And as people of God, I hear us as faithful Christians sometimes saying, well, God didn't say no. And I want to say, and I say sometimes, well, did he say yes, Pastor Maggie? Did he say yes? There are other times we are so spiritual, wanting to hear from God ourselves, that we fail to remember that God oftentimes will use a trusted and proven man or woman in God to speak to us and tell us something. But we're too busy wanting to be spiritual, hearing God's voice ourselves, that we won't listen. Maybe God would say to Fran, I need Wyatt to come to the towers and teach on worship. We all trust Fran. Many of us in this congregation called to get wisdom from Fran. She is a godly woman who is trusted, and she's been tested and proven. But if Wyatt says, oh, well, you know, I don't know if that feels right for me. I better go pray on that. We could be missing an opportunity because we're not willing to hear God being used through someone else's, through someone else to call us. He can use others to speak. I wonder where our children's ministry would be today if I would have waited for God to speak directly to me instead of using the people he used in my life and said, you're to do children's ministry. We think following God is all about a feeling. And you know, sometimes God says, follow me, because he wants to take us to an uncomfortable place, a place that doesn't feel good. How we feel has absolutely nothing to do with following Jesus. But we want to feel good about it. We want to feel good. Well, our feelings have nothing to do with it. We often say in our house, let your emotions go, because we really don't, we're not reacting in emotions. We're not going to react in that. It's what God calls us to do. It's what God calls us to do. It's kind of like tithing. God calls us and tells his people to tithe. He doesn't say wait till it feels good, or wait till you have extra money, or wait till this. He says do it. Do it and trust me. But we wait. We'll wait till we can feel good about it. Matthew 4:19, 20 says, Jesus said to them, follow me. And immediately they left their nets to follow him. They didn't stop when Jesus said, follow me. Oh, wait a minute, Jesus, I need to pray about that, and I need to see how that's going to feel. They didn't stop to say, oh, that could conflict with what's going on in my family and people won't feel right. It doesn't say that. It says immediately. Immediately. So when I picture that, I picture God say, hey, follow me. And they dropped their nets and they went. They ran. They didn't think about it because they heard the voice of God and they went and they did it. We don't always do that. But I want you to hear me, church. Am I telling you not to pray about things? No, no, no. I'm asking you, are you following God or are you asking him to follow you? We are all humans. And you know what humans want? They want to do things when they want to do it and how they want to. We all have control issues, some of us just more than others. But we all have them because we want things our way. But it isn't always about our wants. It's not about our wants. It's about hearing His voice, whether it be Him directly speaking to you or Him using someone who is proven and tested in the body of Christ to talk to you, and stepping forward and following. And I'm just going to tell you, if God's not in it, I don't want to do it anymore. I don't. I've had a few conversations with Pastor Maggie. It's like, I'm not doing it. If God's not there, I'm not doing it. If this Thanksgiving God is not in serving dinner, I don't want us to do it. I don't believe that He said we're not to do Thanksgiving dinner. If church camp isn't going to be fruitful, I don't want to waste my time at church camp. I want to read to you a few scriptures. Matthew 8:19, it says, "Then a certain scribe came and said to Him, 'Teacher, I will follow You wherever You go.'" I will follow You wherever You go. I want you to think about this. Jesus was homeless. Jesus was homeless. How many of us look at a homeless person and say, "Oh, glad that's not me"? I'm going to tell you, I do. Here's a scribe who said, "Teacher, I will follow You wherever You go." I don't believe Jesus even had a nice little roll-up mat to lay down on. And I know He had dirty feet. So He said, "I'll follow You wherever You go." Matthew 9:9 says, "As Jesus passed on from there, He saw a man named Matthew sitting at the tax office, and He said to him, 'Follow Me.' So he rose and followed Him." Again, Matthew didn't stop to say, "Oh, I got to pray about this, see if it feels right. I got to check my calendar to see what's going on." Mark 8:34 says, "When He had called the people to Himself with His disciples also, He said to them, 'Whoever desires to come after Me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow Me.'" Mark 10, verses 3 and 4 says, "To him the doorkeeper opens, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. And when he brings them out, his own sheep, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice." Brothers and sisters, I believe that Sunday night, we are the ones that desire to follow Jesus. We came back after Sunday morning for a second helping of the Word. So we know His voice. We know who has been tested and proven in this church. So are you listening for His voice? All of these scriptures have in common following Jesus. I believe that's why we're part of this church, is because we desire to follow Jesus. Sometimes some of us are eager to move on. And I know that Michael and I, through the year, especially in the summertime, we're like, "I don't know why we live here, Lord. Call us somewhere else. Call us somewhere else. We want to go anywhere that's cool. Please take us." But anytime that conversation goes serious, to a level of seriousness with Michael and I, we're like, "Well, how would we get church? We can't go very far because we've got to be at church." So we just crank the air a little higher. And God does call some people in the body out. He does call them out to plant churches. But when I read the Word and I look at the early church, I can't find where He calls people out continually out of the body of Christ. And says, I want you to follow me here and I want you to follow me there. I don't see that. He puts the people in the church. And when there's a problem in the church, someone addresses it and people aren't all offended and leave. They work through it and they stay because they're committed to following Jesus. But today, that's not the case. Carol could get offended with me today and be gone. I don't think she will. He plants people to stay, not to go out. And so often, I don't know what it is. Is it our society today? We're so anxious to be, if it was here for a little while, I better go. Been here for a little while, I better go. I can't find that in the Bible. And if it's in there, please, please come to me afterwards and say, well, it's right here, Leah. It's right here. He's given each of us gifts and talents for this body at 105 West Main. Gifts to build this congregation. Gifts to encourage this congregation. Some of us have the gift of exhortation to encourage the people. You know, we miss Michelle when she's not here to give us her praise reports or shout her hallelujahs when she's not with the body. Terry has a wonderful gift of teaching. Whatever she is asked to do, she makes that a teaching moment for the body of Christ. It's a wonderful gift He's given her. And we need that. We need that. Carol has a wonderful gift of mercy. Your love and compassion for people is an inspiration to me. Michael has a gift of administration. I know the pastors look to him. I think they probably call him every day. I don't know. I don't know. But they look to him for that business mind. And it goes far beyond your yearly tithe statement. He's given us gifts for this body. He doesn't call us to be lone rangers. To just go. He didn't say, come be here for a little while and then just go. He said, come, plant yourself. He doesn't call us to just be moving about. When people come and go, the question that hits my mind is, what are you hiding from? What are you running from? Because if you really want to follow Jesus, you'll stay and you'll work through it, whatever it may be, and you'll follow Jesus and get right. He has given each and every one of us gifts, even our young people. He has given gifts. I don't know what I would do if I would walk into this church and Courtney and Allison wouldn't come and give me a hug. And I don't believe they do it because I miss Leah. I believe they do it because they love the Lord. And they love the body of Christ. He's given us all talents, no matter how old we are, how young we are. And all of those gifts and those talents are needed to make the church grow. But when we're moving and wanting to leave and everything, it doesn't grow. It's not going to grow. There was a vision for a spaghetti dinner. Seemed as if it was from God. God blessed Thanksgiving outreaches. So why wouldn't God bless spaghetti? Does he care more for turkey than spaghetti? And I don't want to say we weren't following God, but if we were really following God, we would have realized that Friday night, when the people we were trying to reach the most was payday. And for those people that we were trying to reach the most, beer, alcohol was more important than spaghetti. So maybe we missed God on that, because we weren't listening totally. God took me all around this world to show me that the same God that's in Siberia is the same God that's right here at 105 West Main. He's not any different. He's not any different. And he took me all the way around the world to look into myself, because I guess I was too busy not listening and not following in every aspect of my life when I was here, that he had to take me there. You know, as God has flayed me open and looked at my heart and my soul, he has shown me things that I am involved in ministry. He said, that's not me. You need to shut it down. And there's been a few things that have stopped. First season, maybe forever, I don't know. There are other things that he's very pleased with. There are some things he says, take it up a notch. The time is coming close when I'm returning. And he said, we need to stop playing church. You're either going to follow me or you're not. You're going to follow me with everything or you're not. It's not a halfway thing. It's an all or nothing. He made me look at children's ministry and what we do on Wednesday nights, and I have struggled for a long time on Wednesday nights. And even what we do on Sunday mornings, that never seems to be quite the struggle for me, but Wednesday nights has. And what he said was, how many hours a week are these children at church? Let's give some the benefit of the doubt and say 5 hours, which may be a stretch for many of them. We don't need to have social hour, because social hours are not going to get them into heaven, are not going to save them in these end times. We need foundational teaching. And don't get me wrong, church, I love fellowship. I love when we can do stuff and have activities that we get together with. But he says, here, you're here very few hours in a week. We can socialize some other time in fellowship. Here, we've got to have good, solid word. And it doesn't matter if it's on the upper level or the lower level. I would rather sit and hear the pastor preach an uncompromised word than be doing something that God's not called me to do. I don't want to any longer do things that aren't following God. I don't like the way it feels. I don't like the lack of fruit that it produces. When I'm asking God, hey, follow me. This is a great idea. Tonight, God wanted me to bring this word to you, because he says it's time for my people to look within their hearts. And it's not just about ministry. It's about our lives. We say we're Christians. When we accepted Jesus, we said we're going to follow him. And is everything we're doing following Jesus? I ask you tonight, who's following who? In your ministries, in your walk, in your home life, who's following who? And I ask you, just as the Lord asked me, allow yourself to be opened up to Him. You don't have to open yourself up to me or anyone here in this congregation. It's between you and the Lord. Allow Him to do an inventory in your life. Are there things you need to get rid of because you're asking God to follow you? Are there things you need to change a little bit so you are following Him with all of your heart? And it can be painful. It will be painful. But you know what? We serve a magnificent God. A God who is filled with an amazing grace for us. A grace that teaches us. And it's a grace that will return us to that first day when we said, I want to follow you. And we dropped our nets and we ran. It's an amazing grace. Am I going to screw up? Oh, yeah. I'm going to still come up with things that I think, oh, this was God. And then maybe won't be, and I'll have to take a step back and take it back. But it is that grace. And I want to do less of Him following me from this point forward. And I would hope you, my brothers and sisters, would want that too. Father God, you are a wonderful, gracious God. You are a God filled with amazing grace for us. Lord, just as that first day when we said, I want to follow Jesus, and we began to run after you, we began to eat your word. Lord, keep us in that place, running after you. Give us keen ears to hear your voice. Give us eyes to line up what is said with the Word of God. Lord, because if it doesn't line up with your Word, then it's not you. Lord, as my brothers and sisters, the desire to follow you come and you flay their heart open for that examination. Lord, I ask you to be filled with mercy and love. Lord, let us run after you with all of our being. Lord, we love you and we praise you. Be glorified in each and every one. In Jesus' name, amen.